Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Zach Meisel on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Zach was sending me all kinds of texts ripping Hoynesy. No, I'm just kidding. I was ripping. I love Hoynesy, but what's he doing voting for Paul Konerko? You want to comment on that, Zach, or you want to leave that alone?
Well, I mean, karma has its mysterious ways, and I don't know if you saw, the Indians invited 19 players to big league camp today.
Yeah.
And one of them has a name that I know, Paul Hoynes, is already having nightmares.
Oh, I saw that guy. He's a catcher, right?
Yes.
What, can you say his name? I saw it. I had no idea. I never heard of the guy.
No, even with the pronunciation guide, I still couldn't do it. So I wouldn't want to butcher it. He used to be named Li Jen Chu.
Okay.
And I guess this is his original name from where he's from.
Okay.
And if he makes the team, boy, we're all in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, I think his first and last name combined was like 25 letters. It was something crazy, but you see that, Jason?
I'm looking at it right now, yeah, and there's no chance I'm going to try and pronounce it.
Good luck. Good. Can we just call him Roberto Perez Jr.? I mean, anyway. All right. Zach, you don't have a vote yet for the Hall of Fame, do you?
No, it's coming soon.
All right,
10 years. This is my 10th year.
Who would you have voted for this year if you had a vote?
Oh, why would you ask me?
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a little tough to put on you.
I don't know. You know what's weird is that for the longest time, the debate was, do you vote for the steroid guys because there are so many other deserving candidates and you only have a limit of 10? And now it's like who is there to vote for this coming year? There's nobody on the ballot for the first time who's a slam dunk. And so it's like, I'm curious to see if more people are going to vote for Bonds and Clemens just because I'm thinking people will find it awkward to send in a ballot with only one or two names.
I don't think so, though. I think people have drawn the line on those guys, right? I would vote for them personally, but I think people have made their – you know, it's guys like Omar Vizquel and Larry Walker. I think those guys, you know, they and the normal player, not steroid involved, who's a borderline candidate – is going to get more support as the years go by, especially when it's a weak class, as you mentioned. But I think with these guys, I think by now you've decided you're voting for the steroid guys or not. I can't imagine there's many people changing their mind this many years in. I guess you don't know for sure, but...
But I think you're also getting new, younger writers who are eligible to vote each year. And
you're
also, what are the storylines leading up to it? I mean, it's nothing. It's Curt Schilling this year, and that's it. So I just wonder if there will be more people writing Bonds and Clemens think pieces and stuff like that, that, you know, maybe it'll sway a few people. People's votes, it's crazy that Larry Walker made it after being at, what, like 10-15% a few years ago.
Yeah.
So it's, who knows? This is seemingly unpredictable, and it's kind of a mess, to be honest.
All right, Zach, let's get into last night. I of course, wasn't there, but you were. And we played the audio earlier from what Paul said at the end about, I'm going to enjoy him. I can't tell you to. And it sounded like he was waiting for the laughter to come, and it didn't sound like the laughter came. Is that a fair way to assess the end of that speech, like that went over like a lead balloon?
Yeah, I mean, so what's interesting is, you know, the group of reporters are standing there listening to it as he's talking, and most of the speech was just him thanking different people. And then he gets toward the end, and he said that piece about the fans who buy the suites and the sponsorships and how he appreciates them. And I mean, I did a double take. I looked at the other reporters and said, like, did he seriously just say that? That's kind of strange. And I know he's pandering to his audience, but still, like, this was being streamed live.
Yeah.
Every outlet and every reporter in town is there. And the main point is that you have to have a pulse of how the fan base feels about ownership. And when the payroll is 90 million, projected to be about 90, 91 million, and that's 25% lower than what it was last year on opening day, and that was lower than what it was the previous opening day, no matter the circumstances, fans don't want to hear you joking around and trying to do a stand-up routine and pandering to this group of wealthy people in attendance when they're the ones, the vast majority, who are you need to come to the ballpark, who you need to sell tickets to. So, like, the enjoy him comment, I mean, personally, I laughed a little bit just because, like, that came from my article last spring, and I respect the fact that he tried to almost do, like, a heel turn and swerve into the skid, I guess. But, again, it's like the timing is just – there's a disconnect there where it does come off as tone deaf. And even if you get a few laughs in the crowd, you know this is being aired – and you know this is going to be aired the next day on the radio and people are going to write about it. Like, and it's not going to go over well. And it's just, it's not helping your cause when you need fans to buy in and be invested and you have a good team to present them.
You know, you're 100% right, Zach. I was screaming and yelling about it the last couple of segments. I didn't like either of those comments. First of all, you know, some people took it as, oh, he's kind of making fun of himself a little bit. I didn't take it that way. I took it as he's kind of eye-rolling people that got annoyed by that comment last year. And he's like, oh, I shouldn't say it, but here I'm going to say it again. And you know, and you're right, playing to the rich people in the crowd when it's the rank-and-file average Joe that loves baseball. And a lot of those fans that I know, they're furious today. They were already mad about the payroll, but last night put a lot of those people over the top. They're angry, very angry, Zach.
Yeah, it's the timing of all of it. Yeah. And like, I don't have a problem with him getting the award because they do so much in the community. Like, the philanthropic side of things, it's they're unparalleled. But the timing of that is just, it's awkward. And like, the fact that, I mean, he didn't speak to the media on the way out, so it's not like we could ask him about it. It's not like we could ask him, why is the payroll what it is? Are you going to go add an outfielder here?
Right.
Are you going to grant the front office some flexibility? So it's like, it should be a nice moment, but in the timing of where we are and how things have gone, how we've gotten here, it doesn't play well. And I feel like, I mean, he said the one thing, a bunch of things stuck from my sit down with him last spring, obviously, as we're still talking about enjoy him 10 months later.
Yeah.
But one thing that it keeps coming back is that he admitted, he's like, I have a rosier outlook than most people probably do. And I think he is probably a little bit insulated and just maybe doesn't have that sense of, you know, the fan base is kind of like a hornet's nest. And it's like, they want to invest and they want to be interested and buy in, but it's sometimes they make it a little bit more difficult than it needs to be.
Well, since Paul won't talk about it, I'll ask you about it. Is this it, or do you think they're getting? Will they sign another outfielder? Are they waiting this out? Will Puig price fall to them enough to where they would re-sign him, or is this what they're bringing to camp?
I think what's going on is they have different, I don't want to say like graphs and charts, but like different equations set up. Probably that is like, okay, if we can get Puig at this price, is that enough of an upgrade over the potential for what we see in our in-house options? If we trade for outfielder X from this team, is that worth the upgrade over what we have plus the prospects that we'd have to give up? I think they're going through all of these different scenarios. Puig is the only – I don't think they're going to sign Castellanos, and he's going to land a multi-year deal with, like, Texas, Cincinnati. Those teams still need a piece too. But – Puig's the only other guy who, and I'm not crazy about him either. I know your buddy at the station, James Rapine, like, owns a Puig jersey with every.
Yeah, I'm not a big Puig guy either. Yeah, I'm with you.
He's ever played for, but he would be an upgrade over what they've got,
sure.
Most likely.
Yes.
And the main point here that doesn't make sense, and I know you guys talked about it last segment, but I've been banging this drum all offseason where it's like, if you're going to keep Francisco Lindor, you need to surround him with as much talent as possible, or else you're wasting the prime years and the last 2 years you have of this guy. And he's one of the best players in franchise history. It's like, what are we doing here? You're driving straight at a fork in the road. And the thing is, if you don't equip your roster as best as you can right now, then there's a chance you wind up in June and July in third place in the division. And then you've basically cornered yourself into having to field trade offers for Francisco Lindor midseason. So it's like you can make some moves and supplement the roster and not guarantee that you don't have to trade him midseason, but at least decrease the chances that you reach that point. And instead, it's like it's super risky what they're doing. And you know, they didn't learn their lesson last April and May when they started off terribly and they had guys playing middle infield who shouldn't have been in the majors. And now it's going to be more trial and error. You know, can Franmil Reyes play the outfield? Can Jordan Luplo hit righties? Can you make sure that all these pitchers are going to be able to take that next leap forward? And you're going to need them to do that from day one because the division's going to be more competitive. And if some of these guys don't do that and they have growing pains, then you might get to July and have to trade Francisco Lindor.
And what's so frustrating is, like, even if you don't want to go for you're not going to spend a huge contract. Like, Marcell Ozuna just signed a one-year deal. I know it was a lot of money, but the Indians clearly can afford to have a little higher payroll than they can. You couldn't have offered him $19, $20 million, even to a lesser degree. A guy like Corey Dickerson or a guy like Avisel Garcia, those guys signed like reasonable two-year contracts. Like, why wouldn't he have been in the mix? I'm not saying those guys are great, but they're better than what you got.
Yeah, you want to have as few of risks as possible going into the season.
Yes.
And there are the thing that is frustrating about this offseason is that there are so many bright spots on this roster and so many things. Like, we should be talking about how Franmil Reyes could win the home run title in 2020. We should be talking about how much ridiculous pitching depth they have and how great the bullpen could be if Clase and Karinchak turn out to be really good. But instead, you know, there are so many question marks that haven't really been addressed. And it's like, it's right there. Everybody can see it and it hasn't happened. So, I mean, there are guys who you could sign to who you wouldn't, like you said, you wouldn't have to commit to long-term. You wouldn't have to have these albatross contracts on the books for multiple years that then force you to do other things that you don't want to do. But instead they haven't pulled the trigger.
I mean, even now, like even to a lesser, you could sign Domingo Santana and Brock Holt. I mean, at least those guys, at least that would be a little bit of an upgrade. And, you know, I've always thought Santana had some potential. I know he's a terrible fielder, but, you know, nobody's paying him anything. Go sign him.
Yeah. I can say this. I mean, I know if they don't make a move here over the next few weeks, I'm sure we'll get the line that it allows them flexibility to make an addition midseason. But the downside of that is that, like last year, like, you don't know where you're going to be come June and July, and it might not work out for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could use a veteran in the bullpen, too. I mean, they got a lot of young arms. Like, why not sign to Brandon Kinsler or somebody like that who's, you know, pretty decent? I don't know. They're not going to do it. Maybe we'll see. Maybe they'll raise the payroll a little and spend a few, you know, do a few contracts like Cesar Hernandez. We'll see. Do you think they'll even do that? Even a Kinsler or a Santana or a Brock Holt, a guy of that level?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing is no one's asking for a 100, even $150 million payroll, but it's like you're at 90.
Yeah.
Can you get to 100? Can you get to 105? Just so that you give the front office some margin for error. It's like if they screw anything up, it's like it can cost them the entire season.
Who you got winning the division right now, Zach?
I think all three teams are pretty flawed. I'll say the Twins just because it's a safe bet. But, man, for them to not upgrade their pitching more than they did is – I mean, I know they got Donaldson, which their lineup's going to be nuts. But they have some guys who are regression candidates too. I think all three teams feel like they're in that 85 to 90, 92 win range to me. I still would – I'd put it in the same order that they ended last year. But I think you can make a case for any of the three to win the division.
The White Sox are going to be the best team in this division in another year or two.
Absolutely.
Might be this year.
Yeah, it might be this year. It might be. I don't like the Twins pitching at all. At all. But I don't know. Where's Carrasco at right now, Zach? Is he 100% starter beginning of the year as far as we know?
Yeah, he's counting down the days till spring training. He's been throwing bullpens. He's ready to go.
By the way, you know who you haven't heard connected to anybody? Jason Kipnis. I haven't heard his name mentioned once. I mean, obviously, he's going to have to sign a minor league contract. Have you heard his name mentioned anywhere? I haven't.
No, and he's still got a couple guys in front of him who probably need to find a job. Nobody needs infielders. That's the thing.
Right.
It's like, if you're a bad team, why would you bring on Kipnis or Dozier when you could probably just let some kid play and see if he's any good?
Right, and Dozier's better than Kipnis. And so is Brock Holt, who I keep mentioning here, better than Kipnis as well. All right, Zach, great stuff, man. Keep up the good work.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Zach.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.